Mayor says, in other words, from the area of illumination of the light and the glory of God, but the Lord spoke with these same words about the fall of the devil. I was watching at Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I was watching. This I was watching has great depth. When was the Lord watching? When he was falling before the creation of men, or now when he came on earth with his incarnation? Or when, by the way of prophecy, when the devil will be condemned at the final judgment and will be thrown in a lake of fire? As the Lord says, go away from me, you the accursed, in the outer darkness, having been prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepare for the devil and his demons. When does the Lord see the fall? Before, now, or in the future? There are three phases, and the Lord sees all of them. I was seen, or I was watching Lucifer having fallen like lightning from heaven. We read in Luke 10, verse 18. So this has to do with the fall of Satan, who will mobilize his evil and malicious activities on earth. And the key to the well of the abyss was given to him. As you know, Satan does not have any authority. He does nothing without divine permission or allotment. You do remember what happened to Job. The devil enters in a dialogue with God. The economy of God permits this dialogue, and the devil alludes that Job serves God, but his motives are based on materialistic self-interests. God gave him wealth. He gave him wealth, health, much prosperity, happiness, and this is why Job praises and glorifies God. This is not true, God says. Job would glorify me even if he were not wealthy. Then why don't you take away his wealth? And you will see if he will continue to glorify you. Or is he going to blaspheme your name? Actually, the scripture never uses the word blaspheme. The scripture uses the word bless, even if the meaning is blaspheme. So in this dialogue, God says, if you want, go ahead and test him. Do I have your permission? Yes, you do. But be careful. You will not interfere with his personal bodily health. My friends, in one day, the devil managed to bring forth unprecedented destruction in the life of Job. You will be amazed if you read all this in the first chapter of Job to see how quickly the devil acted. In one day, he turned Job's life upside down. His children, all his 10 children, were having a joyous gathering, a celebration at the house of one of the brothers. The wind blows, the roof collapses, and kills all of them. And the news reached Job that all his children are dead. After this, the flocks of the sheep, the goats, the donkeys, the camels, etc., all gone in one day. If the devil would be left free to act, he would turn the universe upside down, literally. His malicious power is so terrible. The angels do not allow him, and God does not permit him, of course. The devil cannot even enter the pigs, as we read in the scriptural readings in the town of the Gadarenes. The demons had to receive permission. When the demons left the demoniac of the Gergesenes, that pitiful human being, they were pleading with the Lord, Lord, please allow us to enter these pigs. And the Lord said, go ahead. He allows them. He gives them permission. So my friends, the demons do not have the freedom to enter even the pigs by themselves. But why does God allow him and the demons to cause harm to people? Because of the unrepentant hearts of the people, lack of repentance. Except in the case of Job, there the answer is given to all those who are quick to judge God's actions And this is not the proper time frame for this, but I will leave you with this thought only. Nothing takes place without God's knowledge and permission, and this mainly due to the people's lack of repentance. What do we see here in the land of the Gergesenes? Why did Christ allow the demons to enter the swine? To punish the Gergesenes, because they were farming swine, disregarding the prohibition of the law of Moses. Why does God allow the devil to fall on the earth? He doesn't only fall crashing down from the heavenly light, but to also spill out all his animosity and maliciousness on the earth for the people's lack of repentance. And this is precisely why the punishment and condemnation is directed towards the unrepentant sinners. Go to the outer darkness prepared for the devil and his angels, which means go with him, not elsewhere, not in a separate area. Go join him. Why? Because you do not keep my commandments. So I allow the devil now to bring you destruction. Let's keep in mind that in hell, if someone could even begin to give a description of hell, if it was possible, if someone could ever accomplish this, to give such a description. But the church fathers say this, my friends, they say that the demons will rush in and out inside the bodies of the condemned people, because we will have the resurrection of the body by that time. So the demons, being spirits, they will enter the human bodies at will as they are being punished. But they will tyrannize the people as they will try to find refuge and some relief from the fire of hell by entering the human bodies of the sinful people. It is simply horrific. These people will not simply be punished by the fire of hell, but by the presence of the demons. It is such a horrible experience for someone to have the devil inside them. Only demon-possessed people who have experienced this can tell you. It is an unbearable condition. And what is this abyss? It's the residential quarters of the demons. When the Lord healed the demoniac of the Gergesenes, that pitiful human being, what were the demons requesting while exiting? To not order them to leave and enter the abyss. What is the meaning of this abyss? It is the pit or the well, as the holy evangelist John saw in his vision. This is the abyss. So here, the abyss is described like a well that has a mouth or an opening, but it is bottomless. This is, by the way, the literal meaning of the Greek word avisos, or abyss in English. Literally meaning without a bottom, a bottomless pit. So the mouth of this pit starts on earth and it disappears in a universal chaos. But what about the key of this abyss? He was given the key to the abyss. It would seem that this well was sealed or locked, and now the key is given to the devil to open this well as to find something. To find what? It is the authority given to the devil to mobilize his malicious and destructive powers upon the earth because of people's sin and rebellion. When Pilate asked the Lord, "Aren't you speaking to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to crucify you? I have authority over you to crucify you or to set you free?" The Lord said, "You have no authority over me. Authority was given to you." Therefore, the authority was given to the devil, for the precise reason that we explained earlier. And what is this authority of Satan over the earth? To bring forth whatever destruction he can. One form of the evils that the devil will infest the earth with are destruction, wars, but pay attention to this last one. That's what the analysis of the plague to follow will show. The horrible existence of people on earth, something that boggles one's mind. And this is to such a degree that people will wish to die, which is quite an unnatural feeling. People normally wish to live. But in those days, people will wish to die, but will not be able to. As Father Justin Popovich stated, that people condemn God to death. And this is not only by the cross, my friends. Let's not always say that the Jews did this. They are not only at fault here. No, my friends, we the Christians, we are re-crucifying Christ. We're also responsible. When St. Paul says, re-crucifying the Son of God, we re-crucify the Son of God. And do you know what we often say? God died. When I become an atheist, what do I proclaim? I proclaim and declare the death of God. Well, now listen to this. People condemn God to death, and God condemn people to deathlessness or the inability to die. There's nothing more horrible. Because if a man dies, if he vanishes, his troubles are over. How would he be punished if he died? Man stays immortal and is punished with this immortality. So people will exist on earth, but their existence will be horrible. As we will see next, and this is the essence of this horrible plague, the fifth and horrible plague. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened, and the air was polluted. This means that the devil is permitted to bring forth various destructions. What is the smoke of the abyss? All the evil consequences of a contemporary military operation, where the rising smoke covers even the sun and pollutes the surrounding atmosphere. If we wanted to compare a corresponding fresco of the monastery of Dionysios in the Holy Mountain, which was written more than 300 years ago during the 17th century, we would have great difficulty in overlooking the fact that the rising smoke of this fresco looks just like the mushroom cloud of the atomic bomb explosion in Hiroshima, Japan in 1945. Again, it would be hard for us not to see this. I have these frescoes and pictures along with other ones of the Dionysios Monastery, but I'm sorry that it is not possible to show them to you, and it's not possible at this present time. This is nothing more than the threat of a nuclear warfare, and we now have a clear example of the destructive results and consequences of such a war in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A nuclear war which seems unavoidable, not only from the standpoint of the prophecy, but from our contemporary reality as well. This presence of the action of the devil inside human history reminds us, and I will repeat it again, the destruction that he caused to Job. He does this because he cannot stand to see man be called child of God. He cannot stand this, especially now where the sonship of man was completed by the sacrifice of Christ. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. Scorpions of the earth. What kind of authority were these locusts given? To do what scorpions are known to do, to sting people with the stinger at the end of their tails. This stinger and the ability to sting like scorpions now belongs to these apocalyptic locusts of this plague. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. When a scorpion stings and injects its poison in a person and the pain can be unbearable, how much more unbearable must the pain be from these mysterious locusts? And this will take place for 5 months. During those days, men will seek death. They will wish to die, but they will not be able to. Death will not find them. This terrible plague, with its horrible consequences, as you can see, brings to mind the Egyptian pharaonic plague. The eighth plague of Pharaoh refers to locusts, and I will read a small excerpt from that ancient plague in Exodus 10:13. And the Lord brought a southern wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the southern wind brought the locusts from the desert. And the locusts went up all over the land of Egypt, and they rested on all the territory of Egypt. And they covered the face of the earth, and they ate every herb of the land. Nothing green remained in the land of Egypt. This plague of Pharaoh seems to have the common element of locusts with the fifth apocalyptic trumpet call. We have locusts here as well, and locusts there in Egypt. However, there are some basic differences. Number one, the damage here specifically relates to people and not to men's environment, such as the plant kingdom. These locusts were told that they have authority to harm the people only and not the plant kingdom. Second, the action of these locusts is torturous to people because they act like scorpions, whereas the normal locusts are not poisonous. Third, this harmful action is specified for those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And fourth, the shape of these locusts does not correspond to the known form of biological locusts, as we will soon see in the description of these mysterious locusts. These locusts are of a strange and extraordinary form, and it gives the motive to be viewed as totally unrelated to our common biological locusts of the class Insecta and the animal kingdom, but this is most likely an allegory. There's an interesting Arabic proverb, nonetheless, which says, and let's listen to this, about the very large locust, let's say the grasshopper, the praying mantis. Try to bring a praying mantis to mind. And according to this proverb, its head looks like that of a horse. Its chest looks like that of a lion. Its feet look like the feet of a camel, and its torso looks like a snake, and its antennae like the hair of a virgin. Its antennae look like the long hair of a woman. As the verses here in Revelation say, that these mysterious locusts had hair like that of a woman. But let's take a closer look now at these strange locusts of the Revelation, since we already concluded that they don't have anything to do with our common biological grasshoppers or insects. This is what I wanted us to understand, and that the corresponding plague of Pharaoh serves as a typology, as a prophetic typology of the apocalyptic and eschatological plague. Please hold on to this and keep it in mind. The very description that we're about to do will show you that it has nothing to do with our common locusts. The shape of these locusts, St. John the Evangelist continues to tell us, when the Lord healed the demoniac of the Gergesenes, that pitiful human being, what were the demons requesting while exiting? To not order them to leave and enter the abyss. What is the meaning of this abyss? It is the pit or the well, as the holy evangelist John saw in his vision. This is the abyss. So here, the abyss is described like a well that has a mouth or an opening, but it is bottomless. This is, by the way, the literal meaning of the Greek word avisos, or abyss in English. Literally meaning without a bottom, a bottomless pit. So the mouth of this pit starts on earth and it disappears in a universal chaos. But what about the key of this abyss? He was given the key to the abyss. It would seem that this well was sealed or locked, and now the key is given to the devil to open this well as to find something. To find what? It is the authority given to the devil to mobilize his malicious and destructive powers upon the earth because of people's sin and rebellion. When Pilate asked the Lord, "Aren't you speaking to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to crucify you? I have authority over you to crucify you or to set you free?" The Lord said, "You have no authority over me. Authority was given to you." Therefore, the authority was given to the devil for the precise reason that we explained earlier. And what is this authority of Satan over the earth? To bring forth whatever destruction he can. One form of the evils that the devil will infest the earth with are destruction, wars, but pay attention to this last one. That's what the analysis of the plague to follow will show. The horrible existence of people on earth, something that boggles one's mind. And this is to such a degree that people will wish to die, which is quite an unnatural feeling. People normally wish to live. But in those days, people will wish to die, but will not be able to. As Father Justin Popovich stated, that people condemn God to death. And this is not only by the cross, my friends. Let's not always say that the Jews did this. They are not only at fault here. No, my friends, we the Christians, we are re-crucifying Christ. We're also responsible. When St. Paul says, re-crucifying the Son of God, we re-crucify the Son of God. And do you know what we often say? God died. When I become an atheist, what do I proclaim? I proclaim and declare the death of God. Well, now listen to this. People condemn God to death, and God condemn people to deathlessness or the inability to die. There's nothing more horrible. Because if a man dies, if he vanishes, his troubles are over. How would he be punished if he died? Man stays immortal and he's punished with this immortality. So people will exist on earth, but their existence will be horrible. As we will see next, and this is the essence of this horrible plague, the fifth and horrible plague. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened, and the air was polluted. This means that the devil is permitted to bring forth various destructions. What is the smoke of the abyss? All the evil consequences of a contemporary military operation, where the rising smoke covers even the sun and pollutes the surrounding atmosphere. If we wanted to compare a corresponding fresco of the monastery of Dionysios in the Holy Mountain, which was written more than 300 years ago during the 17th century, we would have great difficulty in overlooking the fact that the rising smoke of this fresco looks just like the mushroom cloud of the atomic bomb explosion in Hiroshima, Japan in 1945. Again, it would be hard for us not to see this. I have these frescoes and pictures along with other ones of the Dionysius Monastery, but I'm sorry that it is not possible to show them to you, and it's not possible at this present time. This is nothing more than the threat of a nuclear warfare. And we now have a clear example of the destructive results and consequences of such a war in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. a nuclear war, which seems unavoidable, not only from the standpoint of the prophecy, but from our contemporary reality as well. This presence of the action of the devil inside human history reminds us, and I will repeat it again, the destruction that he caused to Job. He does this because he cannot stand to see man be called child of God. He cannot stand this, especially now where the sonship of man was completed by the sacrifice of Christ. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. Scorpions of the earth. What kind of authority were these locusts given? To do what scorpions are known to do, to sting people with the stinger at the end of their tails. This stinger and the ability to sting like scorpions now belongs to these apocalyptic locusts of this plague. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. When a scorpion stings and injects its poison in a person and the pain can be unbearable, how much more unbearable must the pain be from these mysterious locusts? And this will take place for 5 months. During those days, men will seek death. They will wish to die, but they will not be able to. Death will not find them. This terrible plague, with its horrible consequences, as you can see, brings to mind the Egyptian pharaonic plague. The eighth plague of Pharaoh refers to locusts, and I will read a small excerpt from that ancient plague in Exodus 10:13. And the Lord brought a southern wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the southern wind brought the locusts from the desert. And the locusts went up all over the land of Egypt, and they rested on all the territory of Egypt. And they covered the face of the earth, and they ate every herb of the land. Nothing green remained in the land of Egypt. This plague of Pharaoh seems to have the common element of locusts with the fifth apocalyptic trumpet call. We have locusts here as well, and locusts there in Egypt. However, there are some basic differences. Number one, the damage here specifically relates to people and not to man's environment, such as the plant kingdom. These locusts were told that they have authority to harm the people only and not the plant kingdom. Second, the action of these locusts is torturous to people because they act like scorpions, whereas the normal locusts are not poisonous. Third, this harmful action is specified for those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And fourth, the shape of these locusts does not correspond to the known form of biological locusts, as we will soon see in the description of these mysterious locusts. These locusts are of a strange and extraordinary form, and it gives them motive to be viewed as totally unrelated to our common biological locusts of the class Insecta and the animal kingdom, but this is most likely an allegory. There's an interesting Arabic proverb, nonetheless, which says, and let's listen to this, about the very large locust, let's say the grasshopper, the praying mantis. Try to bring a praying mantis to mind, and according to this proverb, its head looks like that of a horse. Its chest looks like that of a lion. Its feet look like the feet of a camel, and its torso looks like a snake, and its antennae like the hair of a virgin. Its antennae look like the long hair of a woman. As the Verses here in Revelation say that these mysterious locusts had hair like that of a woman. But let's take a closer look now at these strange locusts of the Revelation, since we already concluded that they don't have anything to do with our common biological grasshoppers or insects. This is what I wanted us to understand, and that the corresponding plague of Pharaoh serves as a typology, as a prophetic typology of the apocalyptic and eschatological plague. Please hold on to this and keep it in mind. The very description that we're about to do will show you that it has nothing to do with our common locusts. The shape of these locusts, St. John the Evangelist continues to tell us, the shape of these locusts was like horses prepared for battle. So they are not regular locusts who eat grass and plants, but these only harm people. So their shape was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, something that looks like gold, but it isn't actual gold. And their faces were like faces of men. They had hair like the hair of a woman, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. This is important to keep in mind, iron breastplates. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. 2,000 years ago, the only way to express the havoc of the battlefield, the havoc of a fierce battle, was the sound of running horses and chariots and their wheels. There was no other means for the evangelist to express the sound of these mysterious flying objects. And they have tails like those of scorpions, and they have authority in their tails to do harm to people for 5 months. So their tails are like the stingers of scorpions and wasps. So they can sting people. As another fresco at the Monastery of Dionysius shows, each one of these locusts gets a hold of a man, schematically now, and to sting him, and he falls down. Another locust stings another man, and he falls down, and this for 5 months. And they have as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. As we saw, my friends, based on this description of the Holy Evangelist, it is quite clear that we do not have the well-known biological insects here in these verses. But we have a different entity, machines of mass destruction. I will repeat again that the book talks about a shape or a form of locusts, and since these are not real locusts, what could those strange locusts look-alike beings be? We have very serious indications here that these happen to be modern flying destructive machines which will fly and spread great damage and destruction to people. With these descriptions, we find it very difficult to overlook the fact that these mysterious locusts have an amazing resemblance to today's airplanes. If you see an airplane, you will see that it resembles a locust, especially the noise of the wings. And if these planes happen to be supersonic, the noise is so demonically loud, which reminds of many chariots doing battle and running against each other. Airplanes fly over our city from a nearby Air Force base. They fly through certain points of the city as they take off or land. Here where we are now, we are included in your flying zone, and I also stay nearby when I visit. Even though I hear the noise and I know that it's an airplane, even though I know this to be the sound of the supersonic jet, when it passes, the noise stays behind, and the noise is so piercing and so disturbing that it really takes your breath away. It's horrible. You know that cows and other animals, when exposed to this kind of noise constantly, they do not give milk? Their milk does not flow. This has been observed. Babies in their cribs become terrified. These are all factual. And even though I know what this noise is all about, I still become shocked and horrified. Now you may ask, why? Were you ever victimized? Were you ever shot from an airplane? My friends, long ago, once upon a time, from 1944 to 1945, by a Spitfire, you know, the small planes of World War II. Big deal. My friends, I'm talking about today's planes. Can you imagine a great number of these supersonic airplanes in the sky circling your city? They don't need to throw any bombs. What bombs? Just the noise is enough to drive you crazy, to make you freeze. And this happens on a daily basis. And if someone is forced to take cover somewhere, to go into shelters, what shelters? Can you hide today? How can one take cover today? 1944, we would stay days upon days inside shelters. How does one feel in these shelters? And this with the conventional weapons of World War II, even though that war was very destructive and horrible, what would be the Third World War like? What can we compare it to? As you can understand here, we will have something truly horrific. Did you catch on to the fact that they have metallic breastplates, these locusts? They look like they have iron breastplates. They are constructed with steel. It is very difficult for us not to assume that we have airplanes here, especially when the script says that they have stingers on their tails and they have the power to harm people. Years ago, I don't believe this is true now, but years ago, the warplanes had a machine gun in their tail. The machine gun operator was in the back. Again, this long ago in some of the World War II models. So the power or the authority was in the tail. In other words, without having to use too much imagination, it is obvious that these locusts are loaded with weapons. Their king is Abaddon or Apollyon in Greek. As we know, the biological locusts do not have a queen or a king. Honeybees have a queen and they exercise great obedience to her. They are extremely faithful, but locusts do not have a king or a queen, and that's why they move as they wish and they finally fall in the sea and drown, and this is a common behavior for locusts. Now, how do these strange and curious locusts here seem to have a king? Even this detail shows that these are allegorical beings and not real locusts. Again, what is the name of this king? Abaddon in Hebrew or Apollyon in Greek? We find this name in ancient Greek literature of the 7th century before Christ in the work of Archilochos, but also in the work of Aeschylus, Agamemnon, and according to the ancient Greek dictionary of Lieber and Scott, Apollyon is derived from the verb apolimi, which means I destroy totally. So Apollyon means one who kills a destroyer or a slayer. Therefore, as we can see, the name of this king of these locusts reveals the destructive work of these strange demonic entities. There's also the possibility of terrible wars where airplanes will be used, and this we saw for the first time during the 20th century, during World War II and World War I. Airplanes were used in these wars for the first time in history. The consequences of these airplanes and so-called bombers are terrible. I remember during World War II, I was very young, just a boy, and I remember the newspaper writing that the smoke was so thick from the bombardment of London that the sun was darkened. The German planes were so numerous enough to darken the sun. Now you can imagine what was falling from the sky over London. And there's an interpretation that the smoke is not necessarily smoke, but the cloud of these locusts which truly overshadow the sun. This verse here reminded me how the presence of these airplanes was darkening the sky of London. But let's categorize some of these keynotes presented to us here by the book of the Revelation. First, they were not given power to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months. Relatively speaking here, death exists as well, but the main element is torture, more so than death. Father Gabriel, abbot of the monastery of Dionysio, a holy elder of Mount Athos of the 20th century, used to explain the Revelation frescoes found in his monastery. He was the elder of that monastery for 16 years, and I remember being there in 1962 when our school visited that monastery in a field trip. He was our host, and he was speaking so eloquently while explaining these frescoes from the book of the Revelation found outside of the dining room in a hallway which shows in color all the plagues of the Revelation. I will quote to you from one of his publications on these matters. He writes, and he gives the explanation of this fresco, which contains horrible events, those of the atomic energy. Above it shows an angel with a huge trumpet calling a state of alert, and beneath, beasts in the shape of locusts and scorpions flying in the sky from where they threw the star in the well of the abyss. And out of this well, an enormous cloud was formed, widening at the top, taking the shape of a mushroom. Underneath the well of the abyss, there's a number of dead people, some dressed fully, some semi-naked, and some in sleeping wear clothes. In the left side, it shows some people alive but deformed. Now, these frescoes were painted 300 years ago, and some people, he says, were deformed on this icon, and these deformed people could not see or hear. And now Father Gabriel explains that these remind us of the survivors of Hiroshima of Japan from the devastating action of the atomic bomb, and especially their newly born children. As some eyewitness relates, after visiting this city, the children of those years did not grow. They stayed at the same height because the radiation emitted affects the spinal cord and all growth ceases, but the body widens instead and becomes distorted, as this icon accurately shows in reference to these survivors. And all this at the monastery of Dionysio, again, 250 years before the detonation of the first atomic bomb. We have included this icon in the 39th page of our booklet of the Revelation in black and white, and this is a translator's note. Second point, and during those days, this phrase is possibly exclusive in the book of the Revelation, even though I did not search this thoroughly, but it seems that the evangelist John does not use this phrase anywhere else in the entire book. And this shows that this event will be an event exclusive to the very final days. And during those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. Death will flee from them, as the original Greek says. What can we see from all this? All those who survive will prefer death, and they will not be dying soon enough, because the torture of the diseases caused by the radioactive atomic energy will be unbearable. I don't exactly know how many and what are the causes of cancer, but we know for sure that radiation is definitely one of these causes. This is the reason why doctors recommend not to exceed a certain number of x-rays, because the more the exposure, the more the risk for cancer, leukemia, and so on. These are diseases that truly torture people, and we see this in our days of relatively peaceful times. But these are not the only ailments of a nuclear all-out war. Radiation will not be the only problem. The horror, the destruction, the homelessness, along with radiation, will push people to insanity. I cannot imagine anyone caught up in the middle of such war with today's weapons to stay totally sane. This I cannot imagine. Consequently, these illnesses will be long and drawn out, physical, psychic, and psychosomatic, mixed illnesses. Not to mention that the primacy today belongs to the psychic illnesses. Our times are known for psychological diseases. This is quite significant. But here, my friends, we could summarize what the Revelation says by the words of the prophecy which God put in the lips of Moses about the future of the Jews if they would choose to rebel against God. So please allow me to offer you this prophecy, which will serve to help us understand another prophecy, this one here in Revelation. The prophecy recorded by Moses can be found in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and it contains a great many number of fearful and awful points, from which I will only select a few verses which make it obvious that these prophetic verses come to interpret another prophecy, most likely the prophecy here of the book of the Revelation. Don't forget that these words are spoken by Moses for the Jews, the people of God, if they would rebel. But don't forget that we have the people of grace. The people of grace is the new Israel. And the same curses, the same plagues that fell on the old Israel will befall to the people of grace, to the new Israel. So let's not say that Deuteronomy refers only to the Jews. Not so. It also concerns the Christians, who are the people of God, the new Israel. Listen to what God says, and you will be terrified. And I will quote some verses from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. We read in verse 6, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And in verse 15 we read, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under you, shall be iron. Here means that it will not rain for a long time. The heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze. There'll be lack of rain. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Verse 28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And this is characteristic of our times. The Lord will strike you with insanity and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. Verse 34. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. Again, psychological illnesses and insanity. You shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes will see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Verse 49, and this probably has to do with the Roman Empire. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. And this particularly has to do with 70 AD. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land, and they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. And verse 64, a great prophecy. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. This is the torture, my friends. This is the plague. This is the torture where you are in agony without being able to die. But we will continue next Sunday.